I flew to the city of Tampa, Florida. Every Monday I fly somewhere. I work 5 days a week here and take 2 days off. My 2 days off, I preach somewhere. Every Monday I fly out of O'Hare Field and back in Wednesday morning in time to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This week I was in the city of Tampa, Florida, preaching. I spoke Monday night, Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night. Tuesday at noon, we had a luncheon for preachers. Normally, I speak at this luncheon, but this year, we found that Dr. Lee Robertson was in the city of Tampa speaking at another church. And the pastor and I thought it would be wise and fitting to ask Dr. Lee Robertson to speak. For Dr. Robertson has not been speaking now for nearly a year. Suddenly and strangely, his voice began to leave him. He went from doctor to doctor, from Mayo Clinic all the way down to local doctors. And they said he would probably never speak again, never preach again. In fact, when I was there last winter preaching at the church, Dr. Robertson told me that it would take a miracle for him to ever preach again. Well, that miracle has been performed, and Dr. Robertson is now preaching in his own pulpit this morning. He's preaching in his own pulpit. And of course, and by the way, Dr. Robertson is a very warm, tender man, but I've never seen him really break down in all of my life till last week. He told about our church's goodness to him and all the things that we had done to encourage him, and he literally broke down and wept as he told about how much he appreciated our church and what we had tried to do to encourage him. But I cannot begin to tell you how blessed I was to be able to hear Lee Robertson preach again. Since I was a young preacher, he's been one of my heroes. If I have two heroes in the ministry, they'd be John Rice and Lee Robertson. After I'd spoken in the service, he was there where I spoke in the church, and then after I'd spoken, I went to shake his hand. And I said, "Dr. Robertson, I'm so glad to see you, and I'm looking forward to hearing you. How's your voice?" And here's what he said. He said, "Dr. Hiles, I'm just taking it day by day, day by day." His voice was not quite what it used to be, but it was certainly Lee Robertson's voice, and it was strong enough to preach effectively. And I got back to my room, and I got thinking about it. He's taking it day by day. Dr. Rice and I were talking, and I said, "Wasn't it good to hear Dr. Robertson speak again?" He said, "Yes, it was." He said, "Dr. Robertson told me he's preaching in his pulpit and he's just taking it a day at a time, day by day." And I said, "Dr. Rice, we don't all understand it, but that's really what all of us are doing. We're just taking it day by day. We do not know when the last day will be. My prayer, every time I walk across out that door, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, especially Sunday morning and Sunday night, a fervency about it. I say, Lord, help me to preach today as if this would be the last sermon I'd ever preach. We don't know what will be tomorrow. We do not know but what maybe tomorrow bombs will drop on our cities. We do not know but that tomorrow heart attack may grip one or more of us. We just take it day by day. Boys on the front, now you're taking it day by day. You may have be paddled in front of 2,000 people this morning, and I'm not kidding either. In the life of the Israelites, as they journeyed from the land of Egypt to the land of promise, God, realizing that 2.5 or 3 million Jews were on their way on a journey. They had no permanent dwelling places, lived in tents. God gave them food for every day. Every morning, they wake up and find settled on the ground manna. It's called angel's food in the Psalms. Manna from heaven, little wafers, if you want to call them one-a-day vitamin tablets, that's all right. But little wafers had come from heaven called manna. Now the Jew would get up in the morning, he'd go out, and he would gather enough manna for the day. He could not gather enough for tomorrow. If a Jew went out on Monday, for example, to gather his manna, and he got enough for Tuesday, then by Tuesday the manna would be spoiled and not edible. The Lord said to the Jews, I want you to gather enough manna for today. Every day, just enough manna for today. Don't get tomorrow's supply. Tomorrow, God said, I'll send you some more. And so every day, the Jew would get up, go out and pick up his manna, enough for the day. Tomorrow, he'd get some for tomorrow. And the next day, enough for that day. But in a miraculous way, God allowed them on the day before the Sabbath to get 2 days' supplies. If you got up on Friday morning and got 2 days' supplies, the extra day supply would last for 2 days. If you did that on any other morning, it would spoil by the next day. And so God, in his wonderful way, was saying, as the songwriter has said, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. And that's the same thing, not only with the outer man, with the newer man. In 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and verse 16, it says that the inward man is strengthened every day. Now, why does the Christian have to have strength every day? Why does the Christian have, by the way, people come down this aisle and they say, Brother Hiles, I'm not going to take another drink of liquor as long as I live. And that's a good idea for anybody. But I'm not going to take another drink as long as I live. Now, they may or may not. But the water fellow comes and says, Brother Hiles, I'm an alcoholic. And I pray, oh, Brother Hiles, that God will help me not to take a drink. How can I overcome it? And I say, don't take a drink today. There's a man in this room this morning. I feel sure he's here. He was a terrible alcoholic. He was gripped by alcohol like few men I've ever known in my life. And I organized the staff, and I had Brother Colston go by one day and pray with him for strength for that day. And I had Brother Fisk go by the next day and pray for strength with him for that day. And Ron Perkey, when he was here, would go by the next day and pray for strength for that day. And every day, one of our assistant pastors would go by his house and pray, God, give him the victory today. And I said to that man, I said, every morning when you get up, I say, fall on your face and say, dear Lord, I don't ask for strength over alcohol tomorrow. I ask it today. I pray that you help me today to make it today. And I said, when you go to bed at night, say, thank God you helped me make it today. And then tomorrow, do the same thing. And the next day, the Lord wants us to live day by day. You know, our country is going to the devil because Christians don't live 7 days a week like they preach on Sunday. Foreign countries have sent word to America, don't send us any more missionaries. We don't want any more missionaries. We've seen your servicemen. We've seen them rape our girls and steal our money. And we've seen them drink the liquor and wallow on the ground in their own vomit. Don't send us missionaries. We've seen your servicemen. We've seen your tourists. We've seen their unkindness, their discourtesy. We've seen the image of the ugly American. We've seen him be discourteous to our natives. We've seen him rob us and cheat us. We've seen him rape our women and rob our people. Don't send us missionaries. We've seen too many tourists and too many servicemen come from America. And what's happened is this. We have missionaries going around the world. At the same time, we have tourists and servicemen going around the world who are breaking down everything the missionary says when he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what this old country needs is an old-fashioned dose of seven-day-a-week Christianity. That's what I want to have here at First Baptist Church. Let them call us nuts. Let them say we're fanatics. Let them say we're narrow-minded. Okay, but let's live 7 days a week what we preach on Sunday. The world waits to see, is it real? Is it genuine? Is it the real thing? And so day by day, our Lord wants us to walk with him, not just on Sunday, but every day. Not just live right on Sunday, but every day. Not just read the Bible on Sunday, but every day. Not just refrain from sin on Sunday, but every day. Not just be courteous on Sunday, but every day. Not just be kind to others on Sunday, but every day. Not just help the deaf on Sunday, but every day. Not just help the retarded on Sunday, but every day. Not just feed the hungry on Sunday, but every day. Not just clothe the poor on Sunday, but every day. Not just walk with God on Sunday, but every day. Day by day and with each passing moment, God wants us to walk with Him. Now, there are four things I called your attention very quickly that we're supposed to do day by day. In the first place, we're supposed to pray for our provisions day by day. In Luke chapter 11, verse 3, in the what we call the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Folks, listen for a minute now. Don't be too alarmed about the world's condition. One of our teenage girls said to me last night, she said, I'm worried. And I said, why? And she said, I'm worried about the conditions of our world. I said, don't fret about that. I said, wouldn't it be nice if we had a God that could take care of us? Now, First Baptist people, listen. Could I be your father for a minute? Most of you are much, much older than I. But could I be your father just for a minute? Could I talk to you pastorally for a minute? Don't fret a great deal. The dear Lord's still on His throne. And He's still my Father. And He still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't fret. Fret not that. Well, I'm worried. I'm afraid I won't be able to have my, give me this day my daily pizza. In the first place, you don't need your daily pizza. But in the second place, there's a Father in heaven going to care for His own. Let me ask you a question. If you own everything in the whole world, would you feed your kids? Well, my Father owns everything in the whole world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and moon that shine. And He's my Father, and He owns it all. And young people, I'm going to beat the tar out of some of you after the service is over, and you're going to be begging for your Father's mercy after the service is over if you don't behave. But God is able to take care of His own. But you say to the house, I'm a widow. I know it, and God's taken care of widows for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But you say to the house, I'm poor. I know, so am I, and God takes care of the poor people. He fed Elijah with a sandwich brought by an angel. He fed him with a raven, and He feeds the cattle on the hills, and He feeds the birds in the air, and God's going to take care of you. Now look, you're going to come tonight, and some of you are going to hear my sermon tonight, and you're going to get all nervous and all shook up and say, oh, my soul, it's all about over. Not for the Christian, brother. It's all about to begin for the Christian, you see. Because before all this stuff transpires, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And as one fellow said, he said, if I live and Jesus comes again, he'll come to me, and if I die, I'll go to Him. So I don't want you to fret. It's wrong for a Christian to fret. It's wrong for a Christian to worry. It's wrong for a Christian to stew. So just calm yourself now. The Father's okay. We flew to the Holy Land several years ago, 65 of us, and we had people that had never been on an airplane, but they were not afraid. I heard one lady say to the other, I wouldn't be on one of these things for anything in the whole world if Brother Howes weren't on here. And they didn't worry a great deal. You know why? Brother Howes was there. Why? What will Howes do? Keep the plane up? Yep, he'll keep the plane up. You see, you must... No, I'm saying that I am immortal as long as I'm in God's will, and so are you. Nothing the devil can do to you as long as you're in the will of God. And if God wants the plane to go down, I want to go down anyhow. And consequently, they said, we're not for the house. One lady said, I wouldn't get on one of these birds for everything in the whole world without the house on it. Now, let me ask you this question. Wouldn't it be nice if you had God on the plane? I was flying to St. Louis, Missouri. Sat down beside a lady, and I got talking. She's up in years. I got talking to her, and I said, my name is Hyle. She told me her name. I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? She said, well, she said, I have, it's all in the mind. I said, what church you belong to? She said, the Christian Science. And I said, you mean you don't believe you can die? No, you just think you're dead. Well, there are a lot of folks out there in Elmwood Cemetery think they're dead, I'll tell you for sure. She said, you don't get sick, you just think you're sick. And so about that time, this Convair 88 plane took off down the runway, and it soared up in the sky and hit an air pocket. She grabbed the side. And I said, what's the matter? You afraid you're going to think you're going to die? And she says, not funny. It's not funny. We could be killed. I said, you just think you're dead anyhow. But now, there's no need to fret. There's no need to fret or stew or worry or complain. Let the heathen worry. I'm afraid though the steak's going so high. That won't affect many of us. Most of us eat round steak anyway. It's called bologna, you know. It comes in long too, like that. But don't worry about it. But you see, I'm afraid we're going to all starve to death. No, you're not going to starve. If this Bible's true, God's people won't starve to death. And there's nothing to worry about. But you see, I'm afraid that the end of the world is going to come. Well, there are a lot of things worse could happen to this world than the end. And by the way, when the end of this world, as they call it, does come, we as God's people will be safely tucked away at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there won't be any food shortage, and there won't be any worry or fret or any war. We're going to be with Jesus. There's nothing to worry about. Now, I don't want First Baptist Church folks to worry. Now, if you're not right with God, I want you to be scared to death. If you don't know that you're saved, I want you to tremble. If you're living in sin, I want you to be frightened. But if you're one of God's children and you're in God's will, there's no need to be worried or fretful or afraid. Just take it easy. Everything's okay. And God's on His throne. And God knows what's going to happen. And God's got His hand on everything. And His hand's on the steering wheel. And He's going to take us up to the air before all this stuff transpires. And you're not going to be here when all the horses, the blood runs as high as the horses' bridles, and Russia fights the end-time war against little Palestine. You're not going to be here, the honest, simple truth. I wouldn't be surprised, but what this is the last Sunday morning service we'll ever have. Our Lord's going to come soon, I think, and whatever happens, He's going to take care of His own. I'm His, and He's mine. And so give us day by day our daily bread. Number two, the second thing God wants us to do day by day, He wants us to lay our bodies on the altar of sacrifice every day. In Exodus 29:38, it says, day by day bring the sacrifice. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let me show you. Every morning, the Jew would come, he'd take a couple of lambs. Every morning, they'd take the lambs, and they'd kill one lamb and kill another lamb. And the Jew would take the lamb, put it on the altar, and confess his sins on the head of the lamb. And the lamb died, and the blood sprinkled around the altar, and the lamb died in the place of the Jew. And when you wake up in a start like that, don't holler quite so loud. And everything happens, it all happens here at First Baptist Church, I'll tell you for sure. But a lot of folks don't like to see Brother Hilton killed and Brother Fisk killed. Most folks do, but some don't. So every morning, and by the way, yesterday morning's lamb wouldn't do for this morning. Every morning, young people, I'm calling names the next time I see you talk. Every morning that offered the lamb as a sacrifice. Does the Lord want a lamb today? No, Jesus, the great Lamb of God, has paid the penalty for our sins. We don't need the lamb anymore. We don't need to have a Passover or a Feast of Tabernacles or a Feast of Trumpets or Holy Days or Holy Seasons. No need to have the offering of sacrifice. Why? Because once and for all on Calvary, Jesus, the Lamb of God, paid the penalty for my sin and for your sin. But now God does want a daily sacrifice. What does He want? He wants my body every day. I'm supposed to get up every morning and say, dear Lord, take my body as a living sacrifice today. I want to serve You. I'm Yours. I'm placing my body on the altar of service to do what You want me to do and be what You want me to be. Now, God wants that day by day. Not once in a lifetime, but day by day. Not once a week, but day by day. Not once every revival, but day by day. God, listen, we come down here on Sunday night, kneel at this altar. And somebody says, well, the same people kneel all the time. Same people all kneel all the time. Same people all kneel every day and say, dear Father, I give myself a living sacrifice. And thank God some of our folks have done that. Apostle Paul said, buffet your body. He buffeted his body every day. Jesus said, take up your cross daily day by day, every day, lay it all on the altar, every day, say, I'm all yours, every day, give yourself completely to God. I recall one of our little ladies in our church here was expecting a baby, and they were so happy about the coming of the baby. And she went to the doctor, but for a few days she didn't feel any movement in her body. She didn't feel the baby kicking and moving. She went to the doctor, and the doctor examined her and said, the baby's dead. And that was on about a Thursday, and the doctor said, we're going to take the baby. And the little lady with moistened eyes and a heart that was full of love for Christ, she said, the doctor, she said, is there any way we could wait on Monday to have the baby taken? And the doctor said, why? She said, doctor, I teach a Sunday school class at First Baptist Church, and I'd love to stay till Sunday and teach my girls and to teach my class. And the doctor said, well, that would be sort of unusual. She said, well, doctor, is there any way I could do it? And the doctor said, okay. And they held from Thursday, I think it was, up until Monday, the birth of that little dead baby. And that dead body was inside her body all that time. And she stood before class on Sunday and opened the Word of God and taught her class with the body of her own little dead baby inside her body. And there she was, carrying a corpse around with her and knowing she was going to give birth to a baby that was born dead, and teaching her Sunday school class and waiting till after Sunday. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We need that kind of dedication for God's work. Seems like nowadays everybody that's dedicated to communism. Oh, the hippie crowd. They can say, we're going to conquer the world with communism. And Russia can say, we'll give ourselves and we'll sacrifice. In God's dear name, why can't the people of God give that kind of dedication? Why can't you get up every morning and say, Jesus gave his all for me. Jesus, I'm yours again this morning. I give you myself every day, day by day, my daily bread. Day by day, I'll offer my sacrifice. And then the third thing God wants us to do day by day, and that is we're supposed day by day to feast upon his word. In Nehemiah chapter 18 it says, day by day he read the book of the law. Suppose, Dr. Benning, suppose you went home today and you sat down at the table at lunch and you ate and you said to Mrs. Billings, I am going to eat enough for all week. And boy, you ate 14 hamburgers and 60 scrambled eggs and 2 pounds of bacon and drank two pots of coffee ate 4 pounds of green beans, and boy, you were swelled up like a toad. And I said, man, Doc, what's wrong? I'm such a fool, I'm about to bust. Why? I'm not going to eat the rest of the week. No, Doc, you better eat day by day. Day by day. Suppose Brother Hilton this morning got up and he went to the bathroom and got in the bathtub, if he ever does that. Got in the bathtub and he got him some steel wool and he scraped himself and then got some, what's this stuff you, some Brillo pad, and he scraped himself with Brillo pad, and then he got him some Rinso Blue, and he scraped himself with a Rinso Blue. Then he got him some Ivory, and he scraped himself with the Ivory soap. He takes 3 hours taking a bath. He comes out, and I said, man, what you been doing all that time? I've been taking a bath. Why? I'm getting good and clean. Why? Well, I took enough baths this morning for all week long. All week long. I got out of the tub 7 times and got back in 7 times. I won't have to bathe anymore all week. No, you better bathe day by day. By the way, I'd suggest you start that. I was with you in a car yesterday. But you better bathe day by day. Listen, just as you can't eat on Sunday enough to last you all week, and just you can't bathe enough on Sunday morning, Saturday's bathing day, last all week, you're not going to be able to get enough here at church this morning to last you all week either. You're going to have to get the Bible every day. You have to get the Word of God every day of your life and feast on the Word of God. Strength for today. You folks that open the Bible on Sunday and never open it the rest of the week, you can't make it that way. That's why you go into sin. That's why you don't live right. That's why your life doesn't count. That's why you're not happy. That's why you have your nervous breakdown. That's why you have to go to the psychiatrist. Why? I'll tell you why. You don't feed day by day on the blessed Word of God. Let's suppose, for example, Dr. Evans goes to brush his teeth in the morning, and they've been soaking all night long, and he goes to brush his teeth in the morning, and so he gets his toothbrush, and he brushes, and he brushes, and he brushes, and he brushes, and he brushes. Then he puts it down and gets another toothbrush, and he brushes, and he brushes, and he brushes. Then he gets some Pepsodent, And then he brushes with Tetra. Then he gets some Colgate, with Colgate. And then he gets a hard bristle, hard bristle. And then a soft one, and he keeps on brushing and brushing and brushing and brushing and brushing. Then he gets some salt, and he brushes with salt. Then he gets some soda, and he brushes with soda. And he comes out after brushing his teeth for an hour and a half, and I say, Dr. Evans, what in the world have you been doing? I've been brushing my teeth for all week. Why? Well, he just gets so tired of brushing my teeth. Three and four times a day after every meal. If you can't do that, chew dentine. And three or four times after every meal, I get so tired of that. And let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to kiss... Well, you wouldn't like to kiss him anyway. How many of you would like to talk to Dr. Evans about that far apart on Saturday? He'd brushed his teeth all week on Sunday for all week long. Anybody like that? No, nobody like that. And God doesn't like it when you think you can get enough religion on Sunday morning. A lot of folks got up this morning, went down to church and sat through an hour service early this morning somewhere, and that's it for the whole week. That's not enough. God wants 7-day-a-week Christians. He's not satisfied with this half in, half out, half on, half off, half hot, half cold. God wants us to live 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 60 minutes an hour, 60 seconds to a minute. He wants us to live with God and walk with God day by day. And if we do that, we have to stay in the Word of God every single day. And ask the question. How long has it been since you read the Bible a chapter or two every day? Every day of the week, chapter or two in the Bible, and feast upon it. Oh, you say, well, now, by the way, here's a great danger. A lot of people get some little book that has one little verse at the top, and some sweet little Christian has written a paragraph, and that's their food. You better get your food from the Bible. There's a great danger in daily devotional books. A great danger. I'm not criticizing them, and I'm not against you reading them, but what you better do, your devotional time. I'm talking about the time when you meet God. You better not be reading what somebody else says. You better be reading what God says. Somebody said to me, he said, Brother Howes, you know what I do for my devotions? I read Blue Denim and Lace, one of your books. I read a chapter of Blue Denim and Lace every day for my devotions. Now, I mean this. I think reading a chapter of Blue Denim and Lace would be good for you every day. But, brother, for your devotions, you better read the undiluted message from God. Amen. Read it. You say, I can't understand it. Okay, read it anyway. Read it anyway. But, Brother Hiles, I when I get through, I feel like I haven't. Well, okay. I can't understand. What's the matter with the fish? Can't understand me. Right? As shallow as you are, it's pretty hard. But sometimes he can't understand me. But I'll tell you what now, and I'll say this, I don't mean to be boastful, but I'll tell you what, if you'll hang around me, even though he can't understand me, it won't hurt him a great deal. That little lady sat up here in the balcony in the Spanish section one morning, came down the aisle to get saved, and I met her right here at the altar. And I said, little lady, do you want to be saved? And she went, and I said, you want to be saved? Do you know you'd go to heaven if you died? She went. And I said, look. And then it hit me. She couldn't understand English. And I taught her, I speak fluently in Spanish. And I said, Gucho Musto, or something, you know, some deep Spanish. I said, hable usted inglés? No, hablo inglés, she said. I said, estudio español dos años en escuela, pero no hablo español muy bien. See? She could understand English, and so Mr. Garcia came down, wanted a Jesus in Spanish. But she got into conviction while I was preaching, and after the service, I talked to her through the interpreter, and I asked her a question. I said, why did you get saved? She said, it's your preaching. I said, my preaching? What did I say that got you saved? She said, I didn't understand a thing you said. I guess folks don't understand it like it best. I didn't understand a thing you said. And I said, what was it? You couldn't understand it. And then she began to cry, and her lips began to quiver. And she said, it looks so good. It looks so good. She went on to tell me how that she had come to a funeral service here. I'd performed the services for a little boy, 4 years old, who died of leukemia. And it was one of her relatives, and she had come here. First time she'd ever been in a Baptist church, I think. And she said, I stood up. She said, well, Pastor, when you stood up, and all this through the interpreter, she said, you began to cry. And she said, I believe he loves those folks. And she said, then you'd laugh a little bit. And she said, I believe he's happy. And she said, this morning I came and sat up here, and when you'd cry, I'd say, I think he's sincere. I didn't understand what you were saying, but then you'd laugh, and everybody else would laugh, and she'd say, you look like you enjoyed it so much, and the people look so happy. She said, I wanted to get saved because it looks so good. It looks so good. And I'm simply saying that day by day, in the Word of God, if you don't understand it, walking with God, reading the Bible every day. Don't expect to get enough on Sunday to last you all week. And there's the fourth thing we're supposed to do day by day. In 2 Chronicles 30:21, it said, the priest prays the Lord day by day. Stay in the Word day by day. Sacrifice your body day by day. Ask for bread day by day. But it says, the priest prays the Lord day by day. This morning, now think for a minute. This morning, the alarm went off. And you started to get up, and you wanted to lie in bed a while longer. But suddenly you realized you had to get up, and so you got up. Did you know that in itself ought to be enough to make you shout? Stop and think how many millions of people in this world would give anything they have to get up one more time. Think of the rest homes all over this area and all around the world. Often when I go to a city to preach, Dr. Billings, I'll go to a rest home. I'll just take about 30 minutes off. If I'm near, if I pass by a rest home, I'll walk back up to it, I'll drive back up to it. And I just go to the rest home in a strange area and go from room to room for a little while and just chat with the people. And how many millions of people this morning who are living in one little room, never able to get up. And just get up! Well, when you get up in the morning, you ought to say, glory to God, I can get up. Praise the Lord. I was strong enough to get up.